Good morning. Hello, Northingly. My name is Matthew. If you're visiting, we want to welcome you here. I know you've already been welcomed, but I'm so glad you're with us. And we're going to be diving into the Bible, and that might be a new thing for you in life, but welcome to it. We're in a journey through the Gospel of John, so we're listening to the life of Jesus. And so we're in John chapter 16. And today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you a little bit more about who the Holy Spirit is in a minute. But I want to begin by saying this. Nobody likes to be told that they're wrong. Am I right? Nobody likes to be told that they're wrong. Nobody ever. I want to tell you a little story. At Christmas, just a few weeks ago, Siri, that infamous voice out of the iPhone, was telling my family, who are in a car, that they were wrong. And every year, we try to get together with our family at Christmas time. But this year, it was really cool because my family from Oklahoma said, all right, we're going to travel up to Canada. We'll be with you. And we said, do you want us to pick you up at the airport? They were like, no, we'll rent a car. So they were going to drive from YVR to Langley. And they were going to rent a car. So we were awaiting their arrival. And now I'm sure many of you from the North Langley area have enjoyed going to the airport in this new route, the new river road, the number 17 that winds along the Fraser River. We used to have really bad options to get to the airport, but this one is a way better option. But you do know that things get confusing somewhere in and around the Alex Fraser Bridge, right? So some of you who've tried to make that route before, you'll go under the bridge, and then somehow it's an awkward, super long left-hand loop to try to get back on up and over the Alex Fraser Bridge. Or when you're coming back from the airport, you know that when you're coming down off the bridge, there's a quick right-hand turn that you got to take, or if not, you're on Nordell, and you're going to enjoy every red light in Surrey all along 88th back to Langley. So you know this is a really crucial right-hand turn. Well, so I have prepped my family numerous times. So you know, I've driven them to the airport. And so when I'm driving, I'm showing, like, my dad, my mom, is saying, this is what you're going to do. And then when you go around here, I've written it out on sheets of paper. But see, if all of that fails, they still have their phones. They still have Siri. She can help you in your time of need. Well, here's the deal. Siri only works if you're willing to listen to Siri. And this past Christmas, my family pulled into our house in Langley much later than what we had anticipated. And there was some tension. And it was my brother that informed me about the tension in the car and what had actually happened. En route to Langley, somehow my family, driving from the airport, ended up in the city of Vancouver. And that's why they were a little late to get to Langley. And I'm told, once again, that the culprit was my father, who, as he was driving, refused to listen to the audio prompts coming from Siri. Both my brother, mother, and aunt were not happy, begging my father to listen to Siri. But here's the thing about my dad. He knew the right way. His instincts told him he shouldn't trust the computer. He needed to trust his own heart. Right? Don't trust it this time. He needed to follow his own instincts. Rather than traveling southeast, he ended up traveling north. I would ask you to raise your hand if you feel like you're married to someone like that, or the child of someone like that, but I'm not going to do that. Oh, okay, we already see some hands. Whoa. Not trying to cause family strife here, but... Whoa. See, I'm always right. I heard over here. Well, today in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, we're actually going to listen to the role of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will continue to point us to the truth. The Holy Spirit will continue to point us to Jesus. Now, just so you know, the Holy Spirit is one of the persons of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not an it. And so maybe that image of Siri is not helpful because it's an it. It's really not a she, just so you know. But it's an, and so he is the person, a third person of the Trinity. And so we listen to him as he points us to Jesus. He's the compass that never fails to point to true north. As he points us to Jesus, his light exposes all of our sin. And the question today is, are we being open to being pointed once again back to Jesus, back to truth? Are we okay with the Holy Spirit shining a light upon our sin? Are we open to being convicted of sin? Here it is. Am I prepared to hear that I might be wrong? Because nobody likes to be told that they're wrong. So today, if you're willing, I'm going to invite you to pray a bold prayer. And it's a prayer that invites the Holy Spirit to come and to both shape us and convict us, to expose what's really going on in the depths of our heart, to begin to shape us to look like Jesus. So this will be our prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. Mold me. Fill me. Use me. And Holy Spirit, we know you are here. We know you're in the room right now, at work. And we pray that you would guide us to truth. We don't like to be told we're wrong. We don't like to hear that maybe some of the choices we're making are actually leading to destructive behaviors, that the choices we make are hurting others, hurting ourselves. But Lord, we know and we trust that it's because you love us that you'll expose the sin of our heart, that you'll guide us to all truth. And so we trust you, Holy Spirit, point us to Jesus today. We thank you and we love you. Amen. Okay, so if you have your Bibles open, I want to remind you of the context for where we're at in the life of Jesus. Here we're walking through the life of Jesus. And this is a day before Jesus is crucified. And so he's gathered with his followers together and he's saying, here's the deal. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you. And you will be persecuted because you follow me. See, that's two rounds of bad news in one moment, right? He's leaving and they'll be persecuted. Think about it. Doesn't that kind of mean that this whole following Jesus thing is a joke? Doesn't that mean that the whole following Jesus thing is just a lie? Think about it. If Jesus is crucified and his followers are persecuted, doesn't that mean the world wins and Jesus loses? Well, no, because listen to Jesus. This is what he says. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus in John 16 is saying, when I leave, this is not a defeat. It's not the end. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of God. This is going to be God in you, God with you, and God for you. It's better that I go away because you will get him, your advocate. When you think I'm gone, he will be with you and in you. When you're discouraged, he'll comfort you. So Jesus, here on the day before he goes to the cross, tells his followers not to be afraid. He says, the Holy Spirit will come to you. Sometimes he'll comfort you. Sometimes he'll convict you. But he'll always point you to Jesus. Let me explain. Sometimes followers of Jesus are going to be persecuted for living the right way. So they need the Holy Spirit to remind them that they are on the right side of history. When you are on Jesus' side, you're on the right side. When you obey him, when you follow him, no matter how hard it might be, he'll comfort you. He'll say, you're doing the right thing. You're going to be on the right side of history on this one. Persecuted followers of Jesus have to be comforted. They have to be reminded of the Jesus way, that his way of love, grace, truth, mercy, justice, and hope always wins. It may not appear that way because you're being persecuted, but the Holy Spirit will comfort those who are persecuted. But sometimes followers of Jesus and the world in general will begin walking and living in ways that are dangerous, sinful. And it's in those times where we need the Holy Spirit to come and to remind us of truth. In love, he'll come and he'll convict us of sin. The Holy Spirit will come and prove that the world, that we, that Matthew is wrong. And we need that. But it still means he's our advocate. So follow me here. It still means he's for you when he does this. He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to live correctly. He wants you to know the love and the life of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is still in your corner, even though conviction can hurt. So, Northlane, are you with me? The Holy Spirit comforts. The Holy Spirit convicts. They're two sides of the same coin because he's for you. Sometimes he'll comfort you. Sometimes he'll convict you, but he will always point you to Jesus. I want to give you an example. There is a group of about 5 or 6 people every Sunday that come up to me after the 8 a.m. service, and they're people that I trust. And they critique the sermon at the 8 a.m. So usually the 8 a.m. sermon is really bad, and they tweak it all. Now, I think all of you are free to come critique what I say, if you desire. Please not all at once. But there's something unique about this particular small group of people, these 5 or 6 people. They come and I trust them completely. They see what I'm trying to accomplish on a Sunday morning. They're listening, and with great truth, they give me feedback. Sometimes their feedback is comforting. At other times, not so comfortable, right? They'll point me to truth. They'll tell me how they heard it and how I need to make some changes. But see, they do this not only because they love me, but they love the church, and they want the church to hear things correctly. And I think that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. He loves you. He loves those around you in your life. And so he'll come to you and he'll speak the truth because you need to hear it. Sometimes he'll comfort you. Sometimes he'll convict you, but he'll always point you to Jesus. Now, we can talk about comfort, but what I want to do this morning is do a deep dive on conviction. What does that look like? The Holy Spirit doesn't just convict Christians, he convicts the whole world, and this is what it looks like. When he comes, he'll prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. This is a pretty thick verse. And so what do we see? We see that the Holy Spirit convicts the world in 3 ways, or with 3 things, when it comes to sin, righteousness, and judgment. So we're going to look at these briefly. Focus on the first word, sin. Not believing in Jesus is the root of all sin. Now, you might be new to church or new to Christianity, and that phrase sounds a little bit odd, but I want to make an attempt to explain this. Not believing in Jesus is the root of all sin. Here's what I mean. Jesus speaks to his followers about what an amazing, full, free life looks like. And that life is free and full, hope-filled, grace-filled. It's found in his kingdom, the kingdom of God. And Jesus shows us how to live that way. He says things like, turn the other cheek. Love your neighbor. Don't lust. But we quickly hit back, shun our neighbor, and look at porn. Why? Why do we do that? Why are we so quick to do those things? Because we don't believe Jesus. In other words, we ultimately don't trust that Jesus has our best in mind. When he says, turn the other cheek, we're not sure we trust that. We're not sure that's the way to an abundant life. So refusing to believe in Jesus actually becomes the source of sin. And the Holy Spirit will show you that. The Holy Spirit will come to you and say, listen, you're not trusting the Jesus way. He's given you a picture of what a free and abundant and hope-filled life looks like in his kingdom. So you got to trust him. Even if it seems so counterintuitive in the moment, trust him. Believe in him. Look at the second word, righteousness. Righteousness. That word simply means being in right standing before God. Being right with God. You see, the world will think that it's right with God because we follow our own moral standard. So we think we can define good, and therefore we are good because we defined good. And we believe that somehow maybe wealth or knowledge or power or influence or religious experiences or exercises make us right with God. And the world will think, and sometimes you and I think, it couldn't be. It couldn't be that the story of a poor Jewish carpenter from Nazareth, the story where he dies on a cross, on a Roman cross, it couldn't be that that story makes me right with God. But you see, the Holy Spirit will turn our worldly wisdom upside down. He'll show us that what appears to be a loss at the cross was actually a great win. Jesus went back to the Father. That means Jesus wins. He returns in victory to God in heaven. That crazy story about the cross and the empty tomb is actually the very story, the very true story that makes you right with God. Who knew? The cross looks like a defeat, but it's actually a victory. The Holy Spirit, time and time again, will keep coming to you saying, this is the way that you're made right with God. Not by you choosing what's good for your own life. Not by you defining what's good and living that way. But by you coming to understand the good news that your God died for you. Loved you so much that he shed his own blood for you. And that when you give your life to him and trust him, he'll give you new life and you'll be in right standing before God. Not on you coming up with the rules, but on coming under the grace of Jesus Christ. That's how we're made right. Third word, judgment. Judgment. The Holy Spirit will show that Satan is a defeated foe. Satan has been judged. In the great cosmic courtroom of world history, Satan loses. Satan has been judged. Satan gets his teeth knocked out in round one. He's on a leash. His days are numbered. So it's of no use trusting in him. He's been judged. You know, when you walk around day to day, it doesn't appear that way. It somehow appears that evil is winning. It appears that anything that is kind of contrary to God seemed to make advances in the world. But what Jesus is saying is like, trust me, trust me. He's been judged. He's on a leash. His days are numbered. He's a defeated foe. And so, to play a play out of his playbook is to be on the losing side. So abuse, slander, greed, pride, envy, violence, hatred, bitterness, materialism, destruction, these come from his playbook. But he's been judged. It may appear that those who use these tactics keep winning in our world, but they're not winning. Jesus is saying, trust me, they're not winning. The Holy Spirit will prove to you that that's not the way to live. They are like a happy fish in a lake who's swimming around. And they think they've got themselves a nice juicy worm. Swimming away with a juicy worm in their mouth. And all of a sudden, yanked out of the lake in a hook. Right? Moments away from being pulled out of the lake. Dangling on a hook. The Holy Spirit will point us to the truth that even though it looks like they're winning, they're not going to win. Anyone who plays by Satan's playbook will be judged. The Holy Spirit will point us to the truth behind who ultimately wins. North Langley, can you see it? We don't like to be told we're wrong. That doesn't feel good. But do we need it? Yeah, we need the direction. We need the conviction. We need the comfort and the truth of the Holy Spirit. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. This is beautiful. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. In other words, he will faithfully shine a light. Light can be so uncomfortable. Especially in the morning when you turn on your bathroom light and you look at your face. Whoa! What is going on there? It's because light exposes the truth, right? Whew. The truth is like light shining into a dark place. Think about it. Homes have motion sensor lights that illumine what's happening in your front yard. When you shine light into a creepy basement, critters scatter everywhere. Right? Think of the RCMP officer that shines his flashlight into a car to see the truth of what's happening in the car that he or she is approaching, right? I don't know if they do that, but it just felt cool to kind of, you know, what's going on? He's so exciting. All of you police officers, that must be exciting. The doctor shines a light into the back of our throat and into our ear, right? They want to see what kind of sickness we have. There's a deep connection between light and truth. Light exposes the truth. And sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit shines the truth of Jesus into the darkness of our heart. And it's the only way we'll be set free. We don't like to be told we're wrong. My dad does not enjoy Siri telling him where to turn. But the truth is that the truth of Christ will always set us free. And the Holy Spirit is in the freedom business. He longs to set you free. And we can keep kind of pushing that down and avoiding. Boy, that makes me feel uncomfortable. Every time I think about needing to lay that down or to deal with that issue or to actually think about that other person, and, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and stuff that into, you know, some dark corner of my life. But he longs to set you free. Got to deal with that. Got to bring healing. Each and every one of us today are flirting with something. If we're honest, we're flirting with something. Something's caught our attention. Something looks kind of shiny. We're drawn to it. Something's unsettled in our soul. Something's calling out to us like a siren song. Something's tempting us, pulling us in, or crushing us, or discouraging us. Could we open up our hearts today to the powerful and freeing work of the Holy Spirit? He'll shine a light into every part of your soul that keeps that lie going, keeps feeding the lie. When you think that, you know, the greed or the affair or the drinking, or the manipulating, the passive aggressiveness, the legalism, the self-righteousness, the lust, the laziness, all the vanity. When we start kind of saying to ourselves, ah, it's okay, a little bit of that's okay. The Holy Spirit, because he loves you, will come alongside you. He'll come alongside you and he'll prove over and over again, no matter how uncomfortable it might be, that we're wrong. You know, some people, when there's a choice no longer to follow God, when there's a choice to kind of walk away from a community of faith, there's a moment in which they feel so liberated, right? There's this kind of, oh, you know, I don't have that oppressive idea of a God over me or just a community in my life. But the interesting thing is that that community and that God that loves you, that there was a conviction of sin there so that you might be free and walk in freedom and newness of life. But at times with that feeling of no longer having authority, no longer having accountability, it sets us free to live our own life. And that feels better sometimes. I should live my own way. I don't need all that. And so ultimately we have to know, do we trust the love of God? Have we actually tried to open up our life and say, all right, God, that feels really uncomfortable, but I'm not going to walk away from you. I'm not going to walk away from this group of Christians who I know love me. I'm actually going to trust you. Now let's do this. Let's get to work. I'm going to open up my life. I'm going to allow you, Holy Spirit, to expose everything here, and I trust you. And you pray this, say, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. Mold me. Fill me. Use me. See, it's not the easy way, but it's the good way. You know, there's a word for the very thing that shuts down this process. It just shuts it right down every time. This process of healing and freedom from the Holy Spirit, here's the one word: pride. And pride sounds a little bit like this. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Pride. How prideful. The poet has an unconquerable soul? Is that a thing? A head that is bloody but unbowed? He's the master of his own fate and the captain of his own soul? You know what that is? Not listening to Siri. This guy's going to end up in Alaska. He's going to keep doing his own thing. Right? It's such pride. It's blinding pride. And yet we talk like this all the time, and we live this way if we're honest with ourselves. Our culture lives this way. Not just our culture, I live this way. We're the captains of our own souls, driving north into nothingness. Today, one of the most popular slogans that I hear tossed about is this idea that we're supposed to believe in ourselves. That's foolish. Jail cells are filled with people who believe in themselves. Singers who can't sing believe in themselves. Right? I'm going to get a record deal. It's like, no. And people in their life are saying, believe in yourself. And it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't this time. Listen to C.S. Lewis. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot. Without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. So the quickest way to destruction is the slow, going our own way, not listening, no one telling us that we're wrong. We actually get rid of those people in our life that tell us we're wrong. They're uncomfortable. I need to set boundaries. Right? Inventing our own path, truth, morality, gradually floating into destruction. Now, by the way, just as an aside, there are people in your life that you need to set boundaries with who might say some things that are not good. But look at the people in your life. Who are the ones that have always loved you, who have always stood by you, who have cared for you? And then they took a chance. And they met with you in a loving way and they told you some truth that you needed to hear. It's those people I'm talking about. Those people that you've always trusted in the past, but how could they say this? They told me that I'm making a decision that's going to harm me or harm others, but I don't know. It's those people, the ones that you know you can trust. But slowly we just kind of block those people out, right? And we gradually float into destructive behaviors. And the whole time, we're believing in ourselves. And see, we're so lost without the truth of God shining into our life, breaking into our life. We need his truth. We need to know that there is a true north on the compass. And today Jesus reminds us that North Langley, it's the love of God. God in great love sent the Holy Spirit to us. He says, it is my good pleasure to send you my Holy Spirit. God loved us enough to tell us the truth, to shine his light. And by doing that, he's given us freedom. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. I had an opportunity to kind of think about what conviction looks like in my own life. And I was thinking about the following things. You know, the Holy Spirit in different times of my life has kind of shined the light into different areas. But currently I thought about what he's doing. And I thought about the way he shines a light on whether or not I love those who disagree with me. Choose to pray for those who disagree with me or those who I don't understand. He shines a light on whether I love my wife as Christ loved the church. Recently, he's shined a light on the fact that I am my brother's keeper. I have one amazing brother. His name's Nathan. And I don't want to act like Cain with his brother Abel. I am my brother's keeper. That I should care for my children more than my job, which means time. The Holy Spirit warns me about the things I see and listen to and the things that entertain me. What makes me laugh? That I live immersed in materialism? And that at times I can pastor with a warm smile and a cold heart. That's currently what he's up to, I think. And every time he reveals these things, he's melting me. He starts molding me. And then he fills me so that he can use me because he loves me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, and use me. Let's stand together. As we sing, as we pray, there's a whole prayer team that's ready to pray with anyone who feels like they need to pray about any issue that comes to mind. My encouragement to you is this: the Holy Spirit can speak to you personally. He can use the Word of God. He can use Christians around you, people in your life. Don't be surprised this week if the Holy Spirit uses all three. He may speak to you in prayer or through a teaching you hear. He may speak to you over coffee with a friend or in a quiet walk alone. He may speak to you early in the morning as you read his word or here at church in prayer with someone else. And when he does, listen. Trust him. For his truth will set you free. I'm just going to give it a quiet moment. Corey will keep playing, and I'm just going to give an opportunity for you to just pray. And to ask yourself a question, even before you jump into the issue itself, is do you trust Jesus? And do you trust his Holy Spirit to show you how to live? Take a quiet moment and just pray. Say, Lord, what do you need to do in me? Holy Spirit, come. Search my heart. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Would you, in your great love and mercy, melt us? And then would you begin the process of molding us? And then would you fill us to the brim? And by your grace, would you then use us? for your glory and honor.